Blog Talk Radio.
This is a league of A's and BC's. It's green and red and gold and black and blue. This is a league with two official languages and many unofficial languages. It's East versus West, wheat versus iron, love versus hate. This is a league where superstars are extraordinary and ordinary at the same time. It's a league of ice, of fog, of mud, and wind. And for one Sunday in November, it's the nation's glue. This is a league as diverse as a country.
Hello.
A league of Jacksons, McQuongs, Johnsons, Moscas, O'Shea's, and Haji Razulis. This is his league. His league. Her league. Their league. And their league. It's my league. And it's your league. This is our league.
The number you have dialed is invalid. Please check your listing and try your call again. The number you have dialed is invalid. Please check your listing and try your call again.
Well, I guess I should turn the TV off. That's all I can hear. All right, so today's an interesting day. Having fun today. And, you know, it's November 29th, 2013. Welcome to show number 122. Tonight, Candid Frank Live welcomes you to join us to talk about the Canadian Football League. Now, the Red Blacks, they keep bringing in players. The coaching carousel is working. Free agents are, we know who they are now. We're going to find out who the teams are going to protect in the draft. And we can start contemplating and thinking about the CIS players that have become available to be drafted. As you remember, last year was a lot of fun contemplating all the drafted players. Also, it's important to realize as well that it's going to be a bit of a minefield for teams to decide who they're going to protect. So, Aaron has to walk the dog. We were going to do the CIS now, so what we'll do is we'll move ahead to the CFL, and just, you know, a few things to prime the pump, if you will. Again, seven guys going into the hall 2014. We can talk about them. We can talk about the Red Blacks and the fact that they don't have a head coach as yet. You know, Marcel Desjardins has his, you know, he picked up another player, defensive back Jarrell Gavins. He's 5'8", 178 pounds from Boise State. Played for the College Broncos of the Mountain West Conference of the NCAA. And he also played in the arena football, which we try not to mention on this show, because we start talking arena football, I think Mike's going to really enjoy it. He really wants to talk about arena football. And he also tried out, that being, of course, Jarrell Gavins, the rookie minicamp this year at Tampa Bay. So, you know, credentials, they're there. We can prognosticate or guess at who the Toronto Argonauts will bring in as defensive coordinator. Some suggest it might be Tim Burke. I'd like to see that guy down the QEW come back to Toronto. That would be really good. In Hamilton, 14 years Henry Burris has been in the CFL, in the last two in Hamilton. He wants to play at Tim Horton Field and take another crack at winning a Grey Cup. He's had 2 years in Hamilton, in the Hammer. One of those years, you know, they didn't make the playoffs, and last year they did make the playoffs, and not only that, they made it to the Grey Cup. I'm sure they want to remove that bad taste in their mouth from that less than stellar showing at the Grey Cup. But this guy has the numbers. He's had the numbers for years. 38 years old. He becomes a free agent in the offseason. Concentration for Austin is deciding who he's going to leave available for the draft. But Burris has made it clear, and he has stated clearly, I want to be back here. We've had a great run, and I still feel we can get it done. As I said, his stats don't lie. You know, he led the league with 4,925 passing yards, completing 373 of 567 pass attempts for 24 touchdowns and 19 interceptions. Seems all we ever think about when it comes to Burris is his interceptions, but, you know, he gets yardage. And he played well in the Grey Cup. Now, after not making the playoffs last year, as I said, they, you know, the 101st Grey Cup was not a good one. 45-23 is not how you want to go. And as I said, head coach Kent Austin, you know, is pleased with the job that Burris has done. In fact, he said he's done a great job for the Ticats. Now, some have tried to corner Austin into answering the important question, which is, are you bringing Burris back? Well, his answer was, yeah, of course. But some of that's in my control. Some is out of my control. So Austin, you know, who is also Hamilton's vice president of football operations and general manager, will have to balance, you know, who he keeps and doesn't make available for the draft and who he does allow in the draft. So really the free agent situation is not something on the front burner right now. They want to know who they're going to protect and who they're not going to protect, because the Ottawa Redblacks this year, the eight teams in the CFL, are going to give up two Canadians on their roster and one import. So there's a lot that could happen between now and then, you know, when that nine team comes in. There's a lot could happen. And so, you know, Hamilton's doing okay. Now, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, I think they've been too busy partying. They haven't really done that much. I don't think the Grey Cup crowd, anybody get a number on how many people showed up at the Grey Cup parade? And that, of course, was the last time that Mosaic will host the Grey Cup, because they're saying by 2017 there'll be a new stadium in Saskatchewan. Now, the Calgary Stampeders, Dave Dickinson, he's staying in Calgary for three more years. He's not in a hurry to leave. You know, he likes who he's learning from. Huffnagel's a great teacher. But he did say, one of these days, yeah, hopefully, I can take that step to head coach. Now, even though Edmonton, Winnipeg, and Ottawa were part of the, you know, the possibilities for Dickinson, he didn't go. He didn't go there. And he admitted that he didn't exactly allow any offers, nor did he get any offers. Other people called to talk, and he just politely said, I'm not interested. It wasn't whether it would have happened or not. It wasn't important to him. It wasn't something that he wanted to even think about. Dickinson's decision to remain in Cowtown is obviously good news for the offense in Calgary. And his teacher, John Huffnagel, has added a new portfolio, something I've never heard of before, but now here it comes. He is now the assistant head coach. How do you like them apples? So, Dickinson, in his fourth year with the Stamps, is now the offensive coordinator and the assistant head coach. Now, the team, he's been there for, I guess, what, 3 years, right? Is that what it's, 3 years, something like that? Anyway, he's 1,595 points they've scored with him. You know, he spoke to Huff, and they do want to stay together, and they want to work together, and that's a great thing. So Calgary, even though in the last 2 years they seem to have had the pieces to win the Grey Cup, last year against the Argos, they didn't have enough to beat the Argos, and this year they didn't have enough to beat Saskatchewan. Both both those teams were the eventual winners. The only thing is that this year it wasn't on the Grey Cup stage. And I'm sure that's a major disappointment for Calgary. Calgary has to be probably the most disappointed team in as far as their season is concerned. There's no way it can't be true. I mean, things have not gone well for them the past couple of years. During the regular season, yes, but not in the playoffs, or at least last year in the Grey Cup and this year in the West semifinal. The Edmonton Eskimos, of course, with new head coach Chris Jones, he's talking about this team's going to be good in a hurry. And anyone that knows Chris Jones knows that he has a schedule. It's in his head, and it's going to be maintained. You either get on the same page as him, or you're in a new book. And, you know, he's a no-nonsense guy. So, you know, he's not really one of those, you know, softies, to put it bluntly. So Edmonton looks to augment the players they've got. Decisions are going to be made by the head coach and the GM. And the decisions are going to be all about who they'll keep and who they're looking for. So it's going to be an interesting season for the Edmonton Eskimos. Last year I predicted that they would have a better second half. They did have a better second half, but when I said better, I meant better than what they had. Now also, the British Columbia Lions have released Jacques Chaptelain. I can hear Christopher Jones, not Chris Jones, Christopher Jones. I can hear him chortling a little bit in the background. And, you know, he wasn't a big fan of Chaptelain. So, you know, he's gone. So I guess that's enough to talk about when it comes to the CFL, except for one final thing that we could talk about as well. Mark Cohan did his State of the Union. And he's made it very clear, and we didn't get to talk about this on Wednesday, you know, how much pushback do you think he's going to get from the players? I mean, when the commissioner says right in his speech, we're not going to make the same mistake and pay players too much, or, you know, we're not going to treat the money we're getting from TSN like drunken sailors. When he says something like that, he's clearly drawing a line in the sand. The question, I guess, has to be, what will be the reaction of the players? In fairness, with the extra money coming from TSN, one would think at least a portion of it. How much of it's the only question. I don't think there's any question that more money's going to go to the players. How it appears in the budget is the question. Some suggest it should be an extra player, you know, and the players who are here right now, they would just like to spread some of that cash around, right? So that's what we can talk about today. Now it's Friday. It's Thanksgiving. It's a tough weekend. And we got John with us. John, how you doing, buddy?
Hi, Frank.
Hi, John. And let's see. Hang on, John. And who else do we have?
Christopher.
Hey, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm awesome. Yeah. How are you, my friend?
Good. All right. So, guys, we're going to have a lot more time to talk because it's only the three of us right now. I got to give Rob a call. So
this means that Chris will get his peace of mind in finally.
Okay.
He never gets a chance to finish his sentence.
Yeah. Well, that's cool because now here's the situation. We can pick up where we left off last time, at least where we were talking about football, and the Red Blacks. Now, you know, they're getting players, you know, and like you said, Chris, before, they're just bringing in bodies. It's not what probably will make the team, but you know, you got to have players. You got right. So, what did you want to say about the Red Blacks?
Go ahead, Chris.
I think they need a head coach before they need anything. I don't know why they're bringing a single warm body under the thing without a coach. This is ridiculous and silly. I mean, he's the one that has to form this team, and why bring these guys in? It's just it's a waste of space. It's idle media, and I have no idea why it's even happening.
Power tripping. That's what it is. He wants to show who's boss. He wants to show who's boss, and perhaps, I don't know if it's the right move to go about this, but perhaps he's doing it in a way where, well, I'm going to be the one who's going to put these players together, and I'm going to take the blame, or I'm going to take the praise. I don't know if that's a smart idea, like Chris said. You know, you can't do it without the coach being part of it. And if I was a coach, I'd kind of like to hear the GM, my boss, say, what do you think? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the only other option is that there is somebody who is a head coach now and is not yet been announced. And they are
right.
bouncing these things off of him and saying, you know, what do you
yep.
think about this? And he goes, you know what, it really doesn't matter. Bring him in. It's just fodder for the training camp, and we'll see what happens, anything else, right? And, I mean, that's
right.
really what it is. It's just fodder. Because,
yeah.
you know, it's, just,
right.
it's put 100 bodies into training camp, and let's see if we can bring it down to 42.
Right. Frank, remember
yeah.
that guy Frank, remember that guy I mentioned that I heard that went to visit Ottawa during the playoffs?
Okay.
Do you remember that fella? Yeah? Do you remember or no?
Oh, you're talking about Bill Howe?
No. I'm talking about the guy on TSN, La Police.
Oh, yeah. Well, but you know what? Is it possible? Let's see. How many vacancies are there now? There's the one in Edmonton has been filled. The Argos still have their head coach.
Are we just talking head coaches now, Frank?
Well, yeah, because I think you've hit the nail on the head, guys. I believe there's a coach out there that has a choice, and he's waiting to make his choice on what he wants to do or whether he wants to come in. La Police is out there, agreed. So, you know, you've got Ottawa needs a coach. Toronto's set. Montreal needs a coach. As far as I remember, Montreal doesn't have a head coach.
Well, I understand that Montreal has asked, the Board of Governors or the owner or whoever it is, has asked Pop to stay on for another year as head coach. So La Police was asked to come to Montreal to interview for the OC position.
Oh, okay.
So I heard that yesterday.
So he might be deciding, and the fact remains, he might be deciding about being the OC or the head coach. No, wait, Winnipeg won't take him back. That's where he was.
Yeah, right. He won't go back to Winnipeg. So he's either going to go to Ottawa, Montreal, or BC.
Right. Well,
BC needs an OC.
Yes. And you figure that the OC position is what he'll go. Yeah, well, that. I was wondering about the head coach. So as far as the head coach is concerned, who else is out there? Do you guys think that is head coach material? Because we need at least two, right? Unless you're right about the Montreal move, which is to maintain the head coach portfolio with Hop.
Well, yeah. Well, we got Marcel Balfe, who is the OC in Winnipeg right now. He was a head coach in Hamilton. He was a good head coach. He just didn't have a team behind him. I think he's going to end up being the Winnipeg head coach, and I don't know why they haven't announced that already. I think this entire fiasco of trying to put Mike O'Shea in as a head coach in Winnipeg is completely laughable.
Yeah.
What moron would do that?
You know, I almost give even I don't think I think you'll agree with me when I say this, and I'm thinking the way you think, Christopher. I don't think even a special teams guy has as much chance as a defensive coordinator.
You have to pay your dues. You have to learn your profession. Just because you played on the field with a ball in your hand or smacking a player across the side of the head does not make you coach material, and you have to learn that. That is. I've been a coach, man. It is not an easy job, and I'm talking about little kids. This is pro ball. These guys have to pay their dues. Look at Dave Dickinson is doing it right.
Very patient.
Yes.
Now, do you think? What we're saying here, then, guys, is that right now there's only one coaching job really available, because Edmonton, Calgary,
Winnipeg, and Ottawa.
Winnipeg and Ottawa, and then you've got and maybe Montreal. So is it possible? Because La Police is not going to go to Winnipeg again. I think that's a pretty safe bet, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So he's not the reason why the other shoe that's going to drop. Who's the coach that's out there that is making this other shoe drop? Not Kari Jones.
Well, I think in Montreal, it's 100% guarantee that it's not going to be an American, and I think it's going to be somebody that's going to be picked from the existing CFL teams that they're going to go with, or perhaps somebody that they already have on the coaching staff that they want to promote. I'm not sure who could that be. I'm not really good at guessing the coaching, changes and the positions, because it's like. Let's put it this way, guys. When it comes to O'Shea, as Chris brought up, as a coach, you're as good as your coaches, okay? I think it's the team that you put together. There are some special coaches like Bono in BC that was a single man, and no matter who was under him, he was in control 100% all the time, okay? Mm-hmm. Other guys... like Scott, I think, in Toronto, he works well when he has a good team together. You know, I think in Montreal, it's definitely going to be a Canadian or somebody who's already coaching in the Canadian League.
That's him
on the phone right there, right? In Winnipeg.
Hello.
Okay, We're starting to get the guys come in, and I'm trying to make phone calls and listen at the same time. Sorry, John, I didn't mean to distract you. So continue what your theory.
Well, okay, so I'm saying in Montreal, it's definitely not going to be American coming from the outside. I think we can be assured on that. Ottawa, I think Ottawa already has their coach. And Winnipeg, I think, is the only one that is up for grabs right now. And who it's going to be? I have no idea what's going on in Winnipeg. Couldn't tell you.
Marcel. I have a theory on what I would like to do here in these three coaches.
What?
I think Marcel Belfay should take Winnipeg over, go up from the OC and take on the head coach position. They should
there
throw La Police should go into Ottawa.
No.
And, why? Just let me go. And Chapdelaine is going to go in as the OC assistant head coach of Montreal, and slowly replace Pop.
Who's that, Robbie?
I like that. I think it's good. But I just don't like the Ottawa part.
La Police is not a bad coach. He never had anything to work with in Winnipeg. I like his spirit. I like what he did. He made some good play calls in the game. And that's where a head coach actually needs to do. The only time he's actually really coaching is then. And I don't know.
What do you think, Robbie?
What's that?
What do you think, Robbie? Well, thanks, Robbie, for your thoughts. Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, we got it.
I still think Marcel Belfoy is the best guy for the job here in Ottawa. Even though he's the OC in the Peg, and the Peg job, the head coach job's available out there, Marcel does not need to be there. He's got his family, his friends, everybody here in Ottawa. He needs to be here in Ottawa. He needs to be the head coach for the Ottawa Redblacks.
I don't disagree with that. I just think that he's already got a foot in the door in Winnipeg. And
yeah,
it's easier
well,
to promote an OC there.
Yeah, but he's already got his
to do that.
He's already got his steps made here in Ottawa. He was head coach of Ottawa Gigi's for what?
That's wonderful. I think Ottawa should have a bilingual coach.
Yeah. I'm not saying bilingual. Marcel's already got his footsteps here in Ottawa with the Ottawa Gigi's, the Ottawa Sooners. He's coached all around here in Ottawa.
I put Chapdelaine into Montreal. I think that's going to happen.
Well, Chapdelaine can go wherever the hell he wants to go. Don't come to Ottawa, though.
I wouldn't want to handicap the Red Black like that.
No,
well, what's happening in BC? Who's going to be the offensive coordinator in BC, Chris?
I know who I wouldn't be disappointed with.
Who?
Lie down.
And that would be La Police.
Yeah,
La Police,
I
like that. That's good. He's
I think he's going to go for the head coaching
really
job, though.
I don't think he's willing to go there with Benavides as head coach.
I think he's going to stay in the East, and I think La Police is going to go to Ottawa. He's already here. He's in the Toronto area. I understand his family because he's doing the TSM broadcast from here in Ontario.
Yep.
I think he's already in Ottawa, guys. I really do. I think he's already part of the talks on who they're getting and what they're getting, and I think that's a done deal. I think Winnipeg is the only question. And also in Toronto, defensive coordinator, I think Burke, as far as what I'm reading in the papers today, I think Burke is pretty much a good bet on taking a Toronto job, and I think it's a great fit. I really like Burke. I liked him in Winnipeg. He just had no tools to play with.
He was a defensive coordinator, though, and they don't make good head coaches. He's going to be awesome in Toronto.
Yeah, like Jones is not going to make a good – Jones is not a people's kind of guy, you know? The guy
he's
is – I don't know how the Edmonton's going to work out. With. Forget about it, Frank. Your chances of Edmonton being a good team was better this year than I think it's going to be next year with Jones. I don't see it happening for him. I heard a lot of people are happy in the Toronto – organization that he's taking a head coaching job. They're not kind of missing him. No tears are being shed, supposedly. That's what I hear. But
well, John, come on. The players that left, the players that didn't come back, you know the writing is on the wall. Just nobody's saying out loud the situation. But you know, I agree with you. I think Jones wore out his welcome in the room. And there are, like, even though they tried to change a lot of players, they didn't change everybody, and it would have almost had to end up that they'd have to get a whole bunch of new guys because, like I said last time, you know, it's hard to be loyal to somebody who jettisons people on a regular basis who at least appear to be, from a fan's perspective, key players in the defense.
Yeah, especially Isaac. Isaac had no idea what the hell happened. He really didn't, and without saying it more or less, in the interviews, he said, I was cool with everybody in the dressing room. But perhaps he didn't say anything about the field, right? And that's where the coach comes in. So he was shocked at that. And, but he just wanted to kind of show his power strength and say, okay, you know what? You think you're in charge of the defense and you're the mouthpiece here? I'll move you right now. To me, the Isaac thing was like when Bruce left, you know, when that idiot coach that we had for a while got rid of Bruce. And he went to where? BC? Did he go to BC at the time?
Yeah.
Or was it Hamilton? Yeah, it was BC, right?
And
so,
then he went
to
Hamilton, didn't he?
Yeah. It, to me, that was one of those moves where I thought, what? And then suspending those two defensive players before the Guelph game, that was still never explained to anybody really what happened there.
Do we know who suspended them? Do we know, John, who suspended them?
The coach took the head lead on that, but it's your defensive guys, right? And I think the defensive coach is in charge of those guys, and if he doesn't clear it, then the coach doesn't clear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it should germinate, like, the guy that's going to have the say, especially Jones and what he had. He was the assistant GM as well. So, you know, he had the authority to get rid of guys.
That's a good point. You bring that up about being the assistant GM too. Yeah,
you know he had the authority to get rid of guys, and remember John, we talked about this a while back, and I don't know how comforting. Remember, I said they have to get along really well because how do you have the offensive the guy who's the coach, give out the offensive coordination, responsibilities to another player. And then your defensive coach is the assistant general manager, and you're not.
Yeah,
I can't believe that
weird.
Worked out really good. That to me seemed weird. That it was almost a suggestion to keep Jones.
Yeah,
to give Jones the
here.
Power to override the head coach.
Well, it's to persuade him, I think, to leave Calgary and to show him that, you know, we have this much faith in you, so we're going to give you this additional title, you know,
yeah.
And You know, Scott, I guess, must have been okay with it. He was happy to have him here, and it worked out for them last year, right? This year, you know, one game away, can you say it was the Jones' defense? They did give up a lot of points. So I'm not really crying about him because I really like Burke. I like Burke a lot. I mean, I like them as a coach in Winnipeg. I like his mannerism. I like his straight shooting kind of talk. You know what I mean?
Your
be a little bit rough.
Your defense
yeah,
sucks.
What's that, Chris?
That's the most important thing.
Sucks.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
I don't care anything about it. It sucked. It was in the bottom two categories of everything this year.
Yeah.
Okay? You do not – I mean, yeah, you got to the Eastern Final. Whoop-dee.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
You knew you were going to get smoked just by the way that you played all year.
Oh, Chris, he didn't have – I mean, the defensive backs, oh, my God. I mean, as far as deep threat, everybody had it on us, okay?
It was his responsibility.
Yeah,
he's
I know.
Gone.
I know.
I think you're both agreeing, right? You're both agreeing that maybe the defensive coach wasn't doing a good job or he lost the players.
Well, I thought he did a good job on that road trip. I mean, the defense is what I thought kept the guys in the game. And Caleros, you know, looked like the miracle worker there coming back in the second half. But I think he didn't have it in the first half. So the defense kept it close. And that four-game road trip, you know, it was one of those things where I truly thought, okay, we got our stuff together. You know, it looked shady and a little bit rocky at the beginning, and they got their things together. And it looked like it was ironing out. All of a sudden, they come home, and, you know, all these weird things start happening. Let go of a player, suspend a player, moving a lot of players around, whatever. I'm not shedding a tear over him, only because Burke is available. And I like I said, from what I hear and read today, it looks like it's a pretty good fit. And Scott really likes the idea, and Burke is the guy who really likes the idea. So it's one of those things where I think that position is going to be filled already. And with O'Shea,
I don't know.
Like Chris said, good luck to O'Shea. Coach? Head coach? I don't know. He's not ready for that. You know,
he hasn't even a special teams coach for more than a year.
Well,
I mean,
exactly.
And the
other thing with O'Shea the other thing with O'Shea is that, you know, you have to get kind of respect. You have to build a team under you, okay? So what kind of a connection does he have, you know, with other coaches where he can say, come work for me in Winnipeg and I want you as my part of my team? I don't know.
Who's that, O'Shea in Winnipeg?
Yeah.
This man has been a staple in Toronto.
If O'Shea's going to coach anywhere, it's going to be Toronto.
On special teams.
Well, he's not leaving. They're not going to make it.
He's not
going to be defense.
He's staying in Toronto. That's it. You know, every other team can forget about... we want O'Shea as our special teams coach here out in Winnipeg. Well, no.
Head coach. Not special teams in Winnipeg. They want him as a head coach, perhaps. That's the rumor. Okay? And
it ain't going to happen, my friend.
Well, you don't have to convince me of that. I think he'll go. I think if he's offered, he's going this time. Okay? I really think he's going to go. He wants to take that leap. You know?
Man.
You don't get that offer too many times. But then again, I was shocked with Jones going to Edmonton. I don't know what Edmonton's thinking.
Okay. Christopher, you were trying to get something in there. You want to? And by the way, Mike Townsend's with us as well. And you heard Rob J. Emery. Mike was busy getting set up, so I turned off his mic. It's back on again, Mike. Your mic is Mike.
Hey,
your mic is live, Mike.
Hey, y'all. What's going on?
What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Townie.
Chilling.
Are you back home now? Did you enjoy your happy Thanksgiving, by the way?
Oh, no, I'm not back home. Right now I'm in Hagerstown, Maryland, and I'm on my way back down to Mississippi. And then from Mississippi, back up
to
New Jersey.
Mississippi.
Yeah, ma'am.
Corey,
I'm a traveling I'm a traveling man.
There he is. Mr. Bojangles.
There you go.
Yeah. No, I just thought you'd be home for your Thanksgiving holiday. That's why I figured. Last time we heard you were on the road, I thought you were going to head back home.
Nah, not this time, man. I spent Thanksgiving out here on the road so I can make that extra money, but I'll be home for Christmas. Best believe that.
All right.
Well, there you go. And you'll have some money for Christmas so you can spoil that little beautiful girl you have.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a
sweet
picture right there.
I got to visit that CFL shop, man, so I can get my orders in.
So are you going Ticat then? Are you going Ticat for the daughter?
I'm gonna go Ticats, I'm gonna go Red Blacks,
Black.
BC Lions. I'm gonna get every little baby outfit from every team.
There you go. That
so
should
Mike,
be great.
What do you think of the Jones? Mike, what do you think of the Jones move to Edmonton?
I think it was a good deal.
For who?
For Edmonton, you know, because they needed a new face as a coach. I think what's the guy name?
The
former coach, Kevin Reed. Yeah, I think Kevin Reed won his welcome out. I don't think the players was too much listening to him. You know, I think Cables is ready to get for the season to be over with, too, so he can get on out of there. Cables had his bags packed, man, about the third game of the season. He already had his bags packed. So.
Cables Reed was a good guy.
You know what?
Yeah.
Cables Reed, but, he got undercut by the GM.
Yeah. But,
you know, when he called out the offensive line, and he told the coach that he didn't want that guy playing, he might as well have just, you know, he basically kneecapped them right then and there.
Yeah, and then with the Ricky Ray trade for Steven Jobs.
Yeah, but that was nobody that was there.
Right, but I mean,
that wasn't Ed Harvey that did that. That was it.
That was the guy that's in Hamilton right now. That's the guy that's in Hamilton right now. He's
hiding. Yeah, no one's
Hamilton.
Talking about Tillman and Hamilton, are they? You know what I mean? You know, come on.
He's done a good job there.
Yeah,
he's done a good job there. But when you lose a quarterback like Ricky Ray's caliber and you do not get nothing in return for him, I mean, you're basically cutting off the head of your coach, man. I mean, you giving him – okay, I like Mike Riley. Mike Riley was a good pickup. But how many years do you think it's going to take for Mike Riley to get that, to grasp that offense and to get Edmonton back to the top where they used to be?
Well,
I think he's already done it. I think Mike Riley's already there. You just have to put an O-line in front of him and give him a one, maybe two more receivers. You know, Fred Stamps is awesome. You give him a couple more receivers and a decent back, and Edmonton has an offense.
Yeah, they really do. Nope. And you remember, Chris, I'm sorry, Frank, go ahead.
I agree with Chris, and Mike, you're fine. At the end of the day, I don't think any of us will dispute the fact that he's a number one quarterback.
Right.
No.
Right?
I think he's 8 years ahead of where he used to be.
Because me and Chris had this discussion before the season. I was telling Chris, I said, we all know Fred Stamps is the number one guy. I said, what Edmonton should do, if they were smart, they should make a trade for Dave Styler for him to be their number two guy, because Hamilton already going to have Andy Fantuz, and that's going to kind of push Dave Styler to the side a little bit. And I said if Edmonton get Dave Styler, they have their number one and number two receiver.
And they've got a trading chip. If I were, you know, we've been talking about all these backup quarterbacks, but in Edmonton, really – he wasn't the starting quarterback.
No.
The guy that almost beat the Argos last year in the semifinals, and that's the team that won the Grey Cup. If it wasn't for his injury, they could have beaten the Argos in that crossover game.
Mm-hmm.
They got two good quarterbacks there.
So
they got a little bit of depth.
They're going to have some depth. And, you know, I think with Edmonton, I think the owner, whoever owns the team, I think he's going to have to open up that pocketbook a little bit more.
It's a community-owned team.
Oh, okay.
Well, speaking of a community-owned team, I think Edmonton fans, from what I hear, are really, really happy out there. I mean, they They were averaging like 28,000 season ticket holders in the last 2 years, or up to 30,000. I think last year they were between 22 and 28,000. So they listen to their fan base over there, and it's a loyal fan base. And from what I hear, they're happy, really happy with the Jones move. So if anybody out there is wondering if
Edmonton
fans...
They were very unhappy with Cavis Reed.
Yes.
So anything is an improvement. I mean, you could put Gaynor the Gopher in there, and they would have been happy with the situation. The other quarterback we're talking about is Matt Nichols.
That's Matt Nichols.
Yep. He was the number one starter in Edmonton at the beginning of this season, and he went off and broke himself right away. First game, I think it was.
Again, yeah.
And then
Mike Riley, in the preseason game.
That's right. So Mike Riley did start the season, but he did not start the season as the number one guy. He was the backup. So Matt Nichols is definitely in a position in which he can do something, or is at least a trading chip down the road for Edmonton to go somewhere else with it, because he is a quality quarterback.
Now, everybody's talked about all these backup quarterbacks, Zach Collaros and et cetera. You know, the guys we're talking about, the usual suspects. But nobody talks about Nichols. You know, they can't protect both those quarterbacks.
We haven't seen enough of him.
I take a flyer on Nichols. I really liked him. You know, he just cut, and no pun intended, he really caught a couple of bad breaks.
Yeah, he really did.
He needs to drink some more milk or something. I don't know.
He needs to hit the weight room a little bit.
I don't think we've seen him in enough games to actually go out and say, wow, this is somebody that I would build a franchise around.
But he is the guy.
He
is the guy that was on the depth chart, was ahead of Mike Riley.
Yep.
Are we segueing into free agency now?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Oh.
We're still going around the horn. We'll go around the teams. There's a lot of teams in the CFL, and we can talk about them. There's interesting stories everywhere in the CFL. With Edmonton, so right now they're looking for an offensive coordinator, or are they okay with the one they've got?
Edmonton?
Yeah.
I don't even know who their OC is.
Me neither.
It wasn't Cavis, or was it? That's right. Who was the open? You know. Well, okay.
Give me a second. I'm on their page. I'm on their website. Hang on. The OC was a guy named Doug Sams.
Okay. Were we happy?
We got Greg Marshall as the defensive coordinator, and
that's
Doug
right.
Sams as an as and I've never even heard of this guy.
But I don't think he did a bad job. So I don't know if they're looking for. They haven't released him. And there's too many changes going on as it is. Jones is going to have to get to meet the guy or whatever, or talk to him, and then they're going to, you know, he's going to figure out whether that guy is the guy to work with him.
Hey, the question in Edmonton is going to be whether or not Jones and Greg Marshall can get along.
There you go.
They are two totally different guys, two totally different people.
Both going to have chips on their shoulders.
And they're both defensive guys, so, you know, there's going to be some attitude coming back and forth there. So I don't think Marshall's going to last.
But you know what, though? Edmonton's offense wasn't bad. Their offense wasn't bad.
They just needed
that offensive line is what they need to revamp. I mean, Edmonton right now need to take a page from the Rough Riders on how to build an offensive line. If you got to go down south to get some offensive linemen that just been cut or one sign away from being on the roster, that's what you need to do. Saskatchewan brought in some big boys to anchor that offensive line, and it took them a couple of years to get them to jail, but look at the rewards they got at the end of the season.
Yeah, but Greg Marshall needs to be here in Ottawa. He needs to be.
Well, you know what? If the boys are right, and if they're right that Jones and Marshall aren't the same kind of guy, Marshall may spring loose, and he could end up being the head coach
that they're looking for.
Another DC guy. No.
That could be a good thing here in Ottawa.
No, I'm just saying, because You know,
Greg,
when you hire a head coach, guys, usually he gets to name his staff, right?
Yep.
Right.
You know, the only thing is Edmonton's, you know, walking on eggshells right now.
So as far as the staff goes in Ottawa, they only have, what, the GM? Is that about it?
That's it.
Who? The red block.
Chapdelaine.
Wow.
And
that was the guy from B.C., right? Is that the guy that was got rid of from B.C.?
No. No. He's a GM. The other one's
okay.
Another.
No. Desjardins.
Okay. Desjardins.
That's right.
Chapdelaine
okay.
was the B.C.
Chapdelaine is
with
B.C. Yeah, Desjardins. I'm sorry.
No, he's not. He's gone.
He's gone.
Thank you, Rick. Don't be putting him back in B.C. now.
I'm just trying to make Christopher panic. All right, listen, we barely touched. We almost touched on Hamilton. You were talking, Mike, about Stala and Fantuz. Maybe because Fantuz is going to have a bigger part in the team, it might mean that Stala needs to go and he becomes a chip maybe that they can use to trade to Edmonton. How do you guys feel about the lineup that the Ticats have?
In coaching or in players?
Well, the coaching part, Kent Austin's coming back. They can't complain about the way, right? Kent Austin is coming back. Oh, I mean as the offensive guy. Or is he going to hire an offensive coordinator?
Was he the coordinator?
No, he wasn't.
No. Could he not hire Dave Dickinson as the offensive coordinator?
No, Dickinson signed a 3-year contract with Calgary today.
Fuck.
So that's
not good.
Well, not for Hamilton, but good for Calgary. Go ahead, Christopher.
Tommy Condell is the offensive coordinator. The other option up here that we haven't thrown out too much has been Orlando Steinauer.
Well, that's where I don't know. Does Steinauer have more than a 1-year contract? Because he's not going to be. Usually, those contracts don't allow you to move laterally. You know, like a coordinator can walk away from a contract and the team won't stand in their way if they're getting a head coaching position.
Right.
But he's not going to go anywhere as a defensive coordinator because Hamilton just won't let it happen, I think.
Right.
Because I think he signed for more than 1 year. But if he can get a head coaching, do you think he has enough experience as a head coach? He's not long off the field, never mind experience as coaching, Christopher.
No. Nope. I'm just saying that his name has been tossed around a lot in the last week and a half.
Well, I'd like him to be the defensive coordinator in Toronto. That's what I'd like. John, how do you
think
about that one?
What?
I wouldn't let him go sideways if I was Hamilton.
Yeah, no, they won't let
not
him go
there.
Sideways. You're right. Okay, so Hamilton
no, that's
now. What about? Can we talk about Burris? And do you guys think that he's going to re-sign with the Ticats? Or are they going to trade him? Or are they not going to sign him and just let him go wherever he ends up? Maybe Ottawa.
Let him go wherever he wants to go.
What?
If I was Kent Austin, I'll resign him because I'm looking at who I got behind him right now, and it ain't really too much right now. You can get sparks out of certain quarterbacks, but that don't mean just because you get a spark every now and then that spark going right to that fire and be the next one to take over that quarterback position. You know,
so,
short flashes in the CFL is not going to get it.
Yeah, no, you're right.
There,
and besides, what has LaFever shown us other than short yardage?
There is way too much friction between Burris and Austin. There's too
LaFever,
much friction there.
LaFever would never be a CFL starter. At best, he'd be a backup or be done in the arena league. That's it. Bottom line.
So number three would have to become almost a number one then.
Yep, Jeremiah Mazzoli would be our next option, and he'd been in the Kent Austin offense ever since Ole Miss.
And do you think he's ready? Because Austin's really protected him and kept him in the shadows.
Yeah, when Austin got that head coaching job over in Hamilton, he signed him right away because y'all remember.
That's right.
Mazzoli
they made the trade.
Mazzoli was in Edmonton. Yep, he was in Edmonton.
They made the trade for him.
They made the trade for him. So, you know, I feel like if Mazzoli can go through the preseason workouts, getting all the reps, getting all the snaps, of course. Mazzoli could be the man, but it's going to take time. Don't expect greatness overnight. But with him being the Kent Austin offense, it's going to help him a lot. I mean, we're talking about college, and then you spend a year on the offense in the pros. I mean, come on now. That's going to be your number three. Is going to be your number one. And then basically, they either keep Dale Fever as a number two, which I wouldn't, or you go out there and sign some up-and-comer that you got the time to groom, or you sign a veteran free agent that don't mind coming being the backup.
There you go. So the Ticats, they repeat as Eastern Division champions?
Oh, yeah, yes, easily. Because they're going to build their offensive line and defensive line up to beat the East.
So, sorry. Who's the quarterback that they're going to beat the East with?
Mazzoli.
Mazzoli. Oh, we don't know who the quarterback that they're going to beat the East with. Oh,
no, he said Mazzoli,
John.
He said Mazzoli.
Oh, yeah, all right. No, it's not going to be Mazzoli. They're bringing somebody else in new, and they need somebody to start this new stadium that they got to make their fans happy, like they got a champion. And their fans don't like Burris. He's put them through too much stress with games that were on the line. Yeah, this season came out, you know, rosier than most, but for the last two seasons, all they could remember, what we remember about Burris, okay, is that coughing up the ball at the wrong time. Unfortunately, that's the history, no matter how many yards he's got on. Austin showed us, you know, at the end that he's got a little bit more faith than we all thought that he had in him. But, you know, we explained that three-man rotation in Guelph, and not just in Guelph, but I think they use it on the road, too, because of weather conditions, okay? I don't know. I mean, if he's a starting quarterback, Ray was never pulled out because of a weather condition. You feel me? So he's not coming back. Like I told you guys, he's not going to come back. The fan base down in Hamilton. And, Robbie,
I wish we had Bruce on. Find out. Because I'm not sure the fan base, John, dislikes Burris.
You know, Frank, you know the other page that I'm part of, and I heard a lot of negative stuff on there, and that's their fans talking about him. You know, they of course they're going to praise him a little bit more this year, but all of last season, the way it ended, and during the off season, all I heard Ticat fans talk about is the fact that you know, Austin has to replace Burris. Austin has to replace Burris. And all of a sudden, now that he made it into the playoffs and the Grey Cup, you didn't hear it as much, but I don't think it went away completely. So,
well, then they have to bring somebody. They have to bring somebody in. Okay, so Hamilton, go ahead.
I'm just going to say, we might be looking too much into this. If Mazzoli don't be the starter and they re-sign Burris, I'm going to tell you something. Just because the fans want Burris gone, it's all up to the head coach and the owner. If they bring Burris back and Burris leads them to the promised land, I guarantee you, you're not going to hear the fans say crap about Burris going. They're going to praise him for winning the Grey Cup and for praising him for having them a winning season. Mark my words.
I heard that Austin didn't like Burris at the beginning of the season. Okay.
Yeah,
that might have changed, guys.
He
was giving him every opportunity the first 3-4 games, didn't use anybody in rotation, you know, those rainouts and the whole 9 yards as well, how they started. He was playing the whole full entire game, okay, until, you know, they were losing it badly. And I think they lost to Edmonton and that rainout and stuff like that. And He gave him chances, and then I think in the fourth and fifth game halfway through the season, he started to rotate him with the other quarterbacks, meaning that to say, look, I gave you the full ship. I'm going to use the Argo terms. I gave you the full ship to run. You didn't run it as well as I thought, so I got to put a co-captain in, and they're going to share that responsibility with you. It's the way it is. I still have faith in you. You're the guy for me, but there's some things that I need the other guys to do for you, to help you out, which is the way he sold it to him. No quarterback who's a starter wants to really hear it, but the coach is putting it so well, and he praised them like a lot during the Grey Cup, you know, festivities and saying that he has full faith in Burris and the whole nine yards. Well, you know, guys, if he would have won it, I could have said possibly there's a better chance he's going to stay. The fact that he didn't and the way it ended and the way it played out, he's not coming back.
I think to Mike's point, and Mike, I'm gonna continue the direction you were going in. They can't risk going into the new stadium without a blue chip quarterback. With whatever defect you want to identify that Burris has, he's still a blue chip quarterback, and they need a blue chip quarterback in that new stadium. It would really be a disaster if Austin, and Mike, you can speak to this, if he rolls the dice in the hope that he brings in a new quarterback that can run his offense.
Mm-hmm. Of course. And if you're going to bring in a quarterback to Hamilton right now, if Hamilton was to bring in a new quarterback, who are they going to bring in that's going to dethrone Burris or take the place of Burris or even lead them to the playoff on a playoff run, possibly back to the Grey Cup?
Okay.
Would it be fair to say then, Mike, that really what we're talking about here, and the reason Burris might not get signed, which is why Austin said, he said, you know, not everything's in my control. I believe that Austin's going to offer him a one-year contract, and Burris is probably going to reject it. And
uh-huh.
and Austin's going to hope that he takes it because he really just needs another year with Burris. Would you agree?
That's it. He just needs one more year with Burris.
Well, let me tell you something that you guys, maybe somebody heard this. When Austin was the coach down in the college in the south of the border, he was asked in an interview about the CFL and as a quarterback, who do you see as a, you know, rising star? And he mentioned Tate. Okay. And, you know.
Who?
Tate in Calgary.
Calgary.
Okay.
Andrew Tate.
Right. Okay. So
there could be a merry-go-round. There could be a merry-go-round.
He praised him. He just praised him in an interview, and he had nothing to do with the CFL at the time. But he was just throwing a question as to who did he think, and is he following the CFL still, and he threw out Drew Tate's name. Drew Tate, I'm not going to be surprised if something might happen there, trade or something, but there's a lot of quarterbacks in Calgary, too many, okay? With Mitchell, who's a really, really good young star there too, they got to put somebody on the draft waiver to get picked up, but there's three quarterbacks out there, guys. You know, all good. And I don't know. I'm just having a feeling something might happen there with Austin and wanting Tate for some reason. Let's see what happens.
Well, yeah, no, I can see that happening, the merry-go-round starting. As far as I'm concerned, Burris could land in almost anywhere in the Eastern Division except for Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because all three of the teams that I'm referring to all have new stadiums, and they want to make their fans happy. And all three of them don't have a quarterback they have 100% faith in.
It's going to be an interesting offseason, man. I mean, with the
CFL
Players Association.
He's getting a two-year contract from somebody. He's getting a two-year contract from somebody.
Yeah.
John, on Drew Tate thing here with Ken Austin, I think Ken Austin, after seeing him for the last year and realizing that he's a Buck Pierce 2.0, I'm not totally sure that Austin would jump at something like that, but I would wager Burris is not coming back to Hamilton.
Well, Chris, you know how I feel about the Drew Tate thing. I said it all year. I made this prediction when the season started, Frank. I told Chris, because we always had this conversation. I said, you give Calgary three games, Kevin Glenn going to start by the third game.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, no, and I think most of us realize that as well. Tate does have a reputation for getting hurt. There's going to be a merry-go-round in quarterbacks. I really do believe that, especially because of all the backups that have stood up real well, there's going to be confidence by teams to be able to switch quarterbacks, because they're all going to think that, well, maybe we can get two of the guys that are out there and end up with a decent backup quarterback that protects us in case our first option doesn't work.
There's only four teams with quarterbacks right now. 4 to 9 teams.
Yeah, ones that they can rely on, right? Ones that they can rely on.
Right.
And
BC,
then,
Edmonton, Toronto, and Saskatchewan are the only ones that are happy with the QBs right now.
No, and Montreal.
Yes and no.
I would agree with Christopher. You know, unfortunately, our quarterback that we all love so much, he had a great first game, but really he didn't follow it up with much, and I'm afraid that's what concerns me. I don't know. Is that why you're saying it?
Because everybody got film on him.
That playoff game was a tough game to judge him on, though. I think he did pretty good in that game, too. I mean, playoff game, was a lot on the line, his second starting job. I think he did well. I think there's a bright, bright future for that guy, and I think he's definitely going to be their starter in Montreal next year. I totally love the guy. I mean, he looks
look when he came in.
Yeah, if you guys disagree with this, but to me it looks like Tracy Ham, about a foot and a half taller.
Yes, sir.
You know, he looks like him, he throws like him, he plays like him. He's a star, man. He's a star. He's going to be a really big star in Montreal. And they got a combination with him and the receiver. What's his name? Who's
Carter.
Got the son there.
Carter.
Yeah, Carter. I mean, Carter. Oh. I love that guy, too. I mean, oh, my God. The guy's got hands. And that should have been a friggin' interference call in the end zone.
John, I hate to disappoint you and the rest of the Montreal fans. He might not play in Montreal next year.
Yeah, no,
he's going to the NFL.
I know y'all heard me laughing. That's why I was laughing.
I was laughing, too, just not as loud.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, if De'Ron Carter stays in the CFL, you best to believe Montreal is going to kick out some big bucks. And if they don't, somebody's going to kick out big bucks to that guy, I'm telling you, for him to stay in the
star.
CFL.
Yeah, he's a star, man.
And he should.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
he's a really good player. Speaking of NFL, going to NFL, Caleros wants to try the NFL.
Yeah,
he's
he does.
Yeah. He's totally going all out. He came out and said that he wants to dip his toes in the NFL market before he even thinks about going to the CFL. So how does that work?
But you know what? What happened with these guys when they come to the CFL and then they say, well, I want to try the NFL market, is because they read through the blogs and people in different organizations tell these guys, hey, this certain team is interested in you. They want to bring you to training camp. They want to see what you can do. That's the reason a lot of them jump, because they get the inside.
You can't blame the kid for thinking about it. But if somebody takes him on, I don't think any of us can disagree with this. He isn't going in as a number one quarterback. He'll be lucky to be a backup.
He
doesn't have the experience.
Yeah, third string probably.
I was being generous when I said second.
I think honestly it would be a mistake on his part. I think he should just, if he gets a starting job somewhere, he should get that experience underneath his belt. And if he does well there, you know, make it a 2-year contract. You know, make it a 2-year contract. And if he's really interested in going to the NFL, how about a clause where after the first year, if teams come calling or something, I don't know how they can work that out. But he should, it goes to their heads, you know what I mean? They get a little bit of publicity, and they do well with some numbers in games, and then they got a couple of people putting a lot of stuff in their ears, and their family says, that's what you want to do, so why don't you go for your dream? In the meantime, they're going to be put on the practice roster, and they're going to be sent back up here, you know?
You know, when an NFL team signs a guy, usually they watch him throw. They say, throw the ball. And at that point, he's not going to get signed.
Deep. Don't throw deep. That's for sure. He's not a good deep thrower. He's great on 20 yards or less. He's beautiful. But I guess maybe that's
I just
what the
don't
NFL
know that he has.
He
has. He does, I don't think he has an NFL arm. To be honest
no.
with you, I don't think he has an NFL arm.
Not accuracy wise.
I love the kid. I love the kid. I think he's a great quarterback.
And he's coming to his own in the CFL. Zach Kalil's got to hit the weight room. He got to get some arms bigger to throw that ball. That's it. You know, they just got to peak and tune their that their position. Because I was the first one to say Kalil's wasn't going to get it done in Toronto. And he surprised me. Second half comebacks, I was like, wow, this kid, this is not the same kid I've seen in Cincinnati.
Hey, Mike, he's got legs. He's got legs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The guy's quick out of the pocket. He's got legs and hips that just totally deke out the lineman, which can't move. You know, the 300 pounds coming at you, he can't zigzag like Calero's got. And he's great in the pocket, but deep, horrible.
No. He's terrible. He's terrible. And you know what?
Crazy.
You said Pinesville?
And the thing about it is, guys, you got to remember this, too. You know, we got four, maybe five teams that's satisfied with their quarterback. But you also got to remember, we have a lot of backups in the NFL that's dying to get that starting. With the salary cap going to rise, don't be surprised if you see players like Kellen Moore, Detroit Lions' third-string quarterback, that's on the Hamilton's negotiation list. And then you have Drew Stanton. That's a backup in Arizona that's licking his chops to get the starting position. Because to me, honestly, he should have been starting way before Carson Palmer, because Carson Palmer is done. But Arizona went by the name of the quarterback instead of the talent right now. So you got Drew Stanton, and then you got Kellen Moore, and then so you also got that rookie that's playing for the Raiders that started yesterday for Thanksgiving. He's only signed to a one-year deal, and that's the guy. Matter of fact, he came out of Penn State this past year. Watch that guy, man. That guy's pretty good.
Okay, let's move on to the British Columbia Lions, because I'm afraid that we're going to make Christopher fall asleep, so this should wake him up. I'll say the name again. Jacques Chapdelaine is no longer the offensive coordinator in BC. Christopher, who's jumping into that hole?
I, you know what? I have absolutely no idea. I honestly don't. I cannot even begin to figure out what they're doing there.
Well, how soon?
There's
how
no
imperative
hits. There's no groomers. There's no nothing. There's nothing out there at all.
So, how imperative is it for them to bring in a guy, or does Wally do it himself?
Wally won't do it, and Benavides doesn't have the ability to do it.
That's what I said. Will Wally do it?
I knew Chris was going to say that.
But Wally couldn't do it. That was the biggest problem with my Lions for the last 10 years is our offensive department was always lacking. We didn't have the experience there. Wally's a brilliant defensive side of the ball, but he's awful in the offense, and he didn't have an offensive coordinator to help him out. Chapdelaine was never – never mind. So I'm going to go on a rant.
No, it's okay. It's okay. You can go on a rant as long as you don't get personal. Well, as long as you don't talk about Jacques Chapdelaine, you won't get personal. Well, you know, so BC's up in the air as far as offense is concerned, at least offensive coordinator. Any other big holes that need to be considered? Any free agents on their roster that they need to be concerned about? I mean, I know that on Facebook you acknowledge the fact that maybe – Wally's doing too good a job signing guys, because now's the year that you don't really do that.
Yes. And we only have six free agents this year.
That's it.
And nobody has substance.
I think, as far as BC Lions go, I think the BC Lions are done with Andrew Harris. I think they're going to either trade him off or release him. They got Stephon Logan.
I disagree.
They got Stephon Logan
back.
But see, how are you going to keep Stephon Logan, Tim Brown, and Andrew Harris? Somebody got to go.
I don't think you're going to keep Tim Brown.
What?
I don't think you're going to keep Tim Brown. I think
you've got a nice situation there.
Wally and Huffnagel have a flaw, and I don't know if you guys noticed this or not. They are too loyal to their people, whether they're coordinators, whether they're players, whether they're whoever they are. I don't know why we still have Paul McCallum kicking the ball. But he's loyal to the nth degree to that man, okay? He was loyal to Dave Dickinson, and we lost Casey Printers because of it. Screwed up Casey Printers because of it. He is loyal to a fault in his positioning. And he brought Andrew Harris up from a little boy, and he had a direct territorial protection on him since he was, like, 14 years old. So he had that kid.
I understand that.
I don't think he's going to let him walk. I don't think he's going to let him walk.
You know what? What you're going to do? You're going to let Tim Brown walk? I know you're not going to let Stephon Logan walk.
No. Steffy's here for life. He's going to be the number one running back next year.
There you go. And the money that they're paying Andrew Harris, you think they're paying him number one money now to be a number two?
That ain't going to
happen. You see what I'm saying, Chris? That's not going to happen. Not Brady's pockets, it ain't going to happen. No way. So it's either he's going to have to take a pay cut or he's going to get released.
Okay. All right. I think the BC – I'm sorry. Go ahead. You want to
– I think BC's going over the cap next year.
There you go. Well, they got the Grey Cup next year, so –
Oh,
you know.
That's right. Yep, you're right.
Okay.
Right.
So I don't see Harris and Logan parting ways in my backfield. Those two will both be there next year. And if Wally has to pay them a little bit more to do that, so be it. We need an offensive line more than we need anything.
Yes, you do.
Who doesn't need an offensive line?
Right. Well, who's going to lose their O-line? Saskatchewan's going to come apart at the seams. Corey Sheets is going south. He's not going to be in Canada next year.
That's a good segue, because let's go from this year's Grey Cup host to this past year's Grey Cup host, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Is there anything I was going to ask that question. I'm not asking that question. What gives you the indication that Corey Sheets is gone?
He already said he wants to go south. He says he is getting lots of interest from NFL teams.
The thing about Corey Sheets is I like Corey Sheets, but if he thinks he's going to come down south to be every down purpose back, it'll never happen, because one good lick, Corey Sheets is going to be sitting on that sideline with an ice pack on his head. They can use him as a third down back or goal line back, or use him like the Lions do Reggie Bush. Bring him out the backfield, throw him a couple of dumb passes, let him scramble for about 4 or 5 yards. But being an every down back in the NFL for Corey Sheets right now, he's going to have to bulk up. I mean, he's going to have to hit the weight room hard and put on some pounds. Especially if he want to run between the tackles in the NFL.
We saw what happened in the Thanksgiving game in Detroit. Even Reggie Bush can't hang on to the ball.
There you go. And that's the reason why we got Drake Bell, two-headed monster back there, running back. Bush and
that's
Bell.
That's right.
That's it.
But you look at the Riders right now, they're about to come apart at the seams. Craig Butler's up for free agency. Weston Dressler's up for free agency. Corey Sheets, Ty Smith, Drew Willey.
Now, I'm going to tell you, with the names that you just named, Chris, especially Todd Smith and Weston Dressler, NFL teams are interested in them two guys.
Yeah.
Dressler? Dressler's not big enough, is he?
Dressler is big enough, but Dressler, if you put him in a certain offense, a la Denver Broncos, he'd be like Wes Welker in the NFL.
Huh.
Especially
so Manning
if you put him
with
a quarterback.
With
Manning or Tom Brady?
Hmm.
What are you eating, Frank?
Chocolate bar.
Because I'm going to tell you, if I was an NFL owner, honestly, or NFL GM, I'd give Weston Dressler a try. I mean, come on, man. That guy is Mr. Reliable. I mean, who cares about his size? That guy's reliable, man. If you need a first down and Dressler is wide open, man, you can throw him the ball and he's going to get you a first down. He might not be the biggest target, but he's a target that you can use on third down and fourth down situations, especially if
he's
reliable. Maybe 2 or 3 yards.
Mike, you know, you're right. And you know how reliable he is? It was him. Maybe it was Getzlaff. Who made the catch in the corner and it wasn't quite over the goal line?
Getzlaff.
That was Getzlaff.
That was Getzlaff.
Yeah.
That's a sign of a good receiver. He went where the ball goes.
And they got Rob Bag. And they're not going to let Bag come back, go away after he's done 3 knee constructions. The fans love that guy. Getzlaff's a Canadian. So, I mean, they're top-heavy in receivers right now. And they just won a Grey Cup. So everybody wants a raise.
Yep. And they overspent this year, and they're going to have to scale things down. They're going to have to go in the other direction.
Yes, sir. And if you want to keep Todd Smith, you're going to have to open that pocketbook. You got to keep opening it up because that guy's a good receiver too. If it wasn't for Todd Smith, at times during some of the Saskatchewan games, they would have lost a lot of games.
They would have lost to Toronto. They would have lost here to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
They would never. They would never have been in the semifinals if it wasn't for Todd Smith.
There you go.
BC would have been in the Grey Cup.
There you go. And Hamilton would have won.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bullshit. So, you know, Saskatchewan has a lot that they really have to. They're going to have to sit down at the table and figure out what they're going to do with some of these guys. Because, I mean, you know, some of these guys going to work for the money, and then some of these guys going to come down south. Maybe get on the practice roster, maybe make the 53-man roster, and then stick. I mean,
So what you're saying, Mike, is they're going to have to get down to business.
They're going to have to get down to business.
they won't do anything until after Christmas.
There you go.
If they want to repeat as Grey Cup champions, they're going to have to get down to business. If you can't keep Dressler, that means you're going to make an upgrade. Don't downgrade.
Simon,
you have to make an upgrade.
What did Simon sign for?
What is who?
Was it 1 year and an option or 2 years? Because he's not on free agency this year.
Who is that?
Simon.
G. Roy Simon.
I think it's 1 year and an option.
They're paying him $200,000.
They paid him $200,000
with bonuses. I thought it was too, but he's not free agent this year.
Well, you know what? It might be the 1 year with an option.
There you go.
But you can't continue to pay that old man that money.
But you know what though? If they do keep G. Roy for one more year, you can use G. Roy in spurts the way you did all year, and it actually kept him fresh until the Grey Cup game. Two Grey Cup games, score 2 TDs. That's fantastic.
Right, but hang on for a second here on him scoring two TDs. It's because Weston Dressler was out there. It was because Todd Smith was out there. It was because Chris Getzlaff was out there. And the DBs are going, who the hell do I cover?
Well, they
right,
haven't thrown,
but you know what, though?
They haven't thrown to Simon this year. Maybe we shouldn't cover him.
Yeah,
right.
We don't need to cover him. He hasn't been catching the ball. So the safety leans away from him.
Yeah, and that's what they did, and Superman posed twice in the end zone.
Not once, but twice. And the first 2 times in the Grey Cup. All right, so Saskatchewan's, you know, they're going to be an interesting thing to watch. We touched on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, but I don't think we touched on them in as far as the team's concerned. We all agree they need a quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Hall isn't the guy.
No.
You know what, Frank, I'm going to tell you, and Chris and I also had this, Chris and a couple of us had this conversation in the CFL room. I raved about Max Hall. I raved about him when he first came to the CFL. I said Max Hall is going to be the Winnipeg Bombers starting quarterback because of his arm and his NFL experience. Max Hall needs a 4-year to get the grasp of the CFL, because I've seen flashes, but Max Hall is playing in the CFL like an NFL quarterback.
Well, he's got to unlearn. Yeah, well, isn't that the problem with experience? Sometimes, isn't that what the concern was in Hamilton? You have the wrong kind of experience. You have to unlearn what you learned to get, you know, you basically have to work your way down to get back up again.
Yep. But the thing about it is, in the NFL, by playing, being an NFL quarterback, you can go back, jump in the pocket, and you might have time to throw. In the CFL, man, you got these fast linebackers coming at you. 50, 60 miles an hour. I mean, you have to get the ball out there. Three-step drop and throw it. He was playing like an NFL quarterback, trying to scramble here and there. Nah, you got the 3-4-5-step drop, find your receiver, get the ball out. And he played like an NFL quarterback, and that's what hurt him.
So they're looking for a quarterback. They're looking for a coach. December 16th is a critical date. That's when Ottawa starts to build their team, or at least comes up with the 24 players that they're going to start with, that being 16 Canadians and or non-imports and 8 imports that are going to come from the other 8 teams. So Do you think that maybe Winnipeg has a lot of work to do, probably as much, if not probably more, than Ottawa? Ottawa doesn't have to undo anything.
No, they don't. And I think you're right. Winnipeg has to do more. And the thing about with Winnipeg, if you're looking for a quarterback, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say this, and if I go out on a limb and say it now, I'm going to say it during the season. If they're going to sign a veteran quarterback, if Ottawa do not pick up Kevin Glenn, don't be surprised to see Kevin Glenn back in Winnipeg.
Woo! That'd be good.
Well, he's proved durability. That's something that Winnipeg would like to see for a change.
Think about when Kevin Glenn was traded. Think how many quarterbacks Winnipeg went through.
7? 8?
Yes. I think it was more than that. Because they were shuffling like they were shuffling cards back there at the crap table, you know, shuffling them. So if Kevin Glenn does not go to Ottawa, I see him back in Winnipeg. And your quarterback situation for your starter is solved. You just got to make sure you groom a couple of backups just in case Kevin Glenn goes up.
There you go. All right, so we talked about Montreal. We talked about Ottawa. We talked a little bit, and if there's anything else you guys want, any of you want to add, the Alouettes. Anything you guys want to add on the Alouettes of interest?
I don't like them.
I got
nothing to say.
But they're going to have some decisions to make too. If you want to keep De'Ron Carter, you got to make sure you got to figure out what you're going to do with Jamel Richardson. S.J. Green, I think he's still in the contract. Arlan Bruce, and what's the other guy? Whitaker, I think that's his name.
Yep.
Whitaker. You got a lot of receivers out there in Montreal, and you're going to have to do something with them. You're going to have to either trade a couple of them, or you're going to do some type of sign and trade deal with them.
Or lose Carter to the NFL.
Lose Carter to the NFL, yep.
I think they already have. I can't see that's not true. His dad's got the word out for him.
He's mm-hmm. gone to the NFL. I don't even think that's not even an option right now. If he's here one more year, I would be really surprised.
Yeah, if Carter do play in the CFL, it'd be on a one-year deal. On a one-year deal so he can grasp the route running, because his route running is shaky. He's not the perfect route runner. But he has the hands and he has the speed, and he can go up over them 5'10", 6-foot DBs with ease. So if he does stay in the CFL, it's going to be on a one-year deal to grasp the route running and get more experience at the wide receiver mark in the pros.
Yeah, you know what? If he could get a three-month deal, he'd get a three-month deal with an option.
Mm-hmm. he would, and it would be smart on his part.
Mm-hmm. Because
I have a question for
right
you guys
now,
here.
I think if out of all the receivers that Montreal has, I think if I see anybody in the Red Blacks, I think Arlen Bruce might go to the Red Blacks because they're gonna need a veteran receiver that can still go out there and make catches, make big plays. And I mean, come on, that's the best you're gonna get at wide receiver right now, especially during a free agency mark. Arlen Bruce
still got another year. Bruce has still got another year.
Oh, he's still got another year? Okay.
Yeah, he signed a 2 year.
Okay.
So that means that he has to be protected.
Yeah, he has
right.
to be protected.
Or traded.
Or he's available.
Or unless they do a sign and trade deal, a trading.
But don't forget, guys, on December 16th, you know, well, I'd not say don't forget. In my opinion, on December 16th, what's going to happen is players are going to leave rosters that are not predictable. And then, real quick, I think they're going to start doing some trading because it's not unusual for a team that comes in, picks up an asset that another team wants. Like, for example, Ottawa could pick a guy that another team wants, and they could pull a trade after that. You know, there's a lot of variables out there with the draft. The draft really makes things interesting because holes develop that you didn't predict, you know, because you really don't know who you're going to lose. So after December 16th, it's going to be really, really interesting.
It really is.
Free agency isn't going to happen until February.
Yeah, but I have a couple questions here on some dates. Okay, so the expansion draft is on the 16th.
That's
now,
correct.
I understand, and I cannot find this anywhere, and I've been scouring the Internet, and I'm a hell of a good researcher, so I'm hoping that Mr. Granger can help me out here with some information. I've heard that 2 weeks prior to the expansion draft, they are opening up the trading for 2 weeks. So the teams can move people. But I can't find it anywhere. I also cannot find the date in which the teams must submit their protection list.
The 16th.
So that... No,
oh, no,
it's not
you,
the 16th
oh, no.
Because
yeah, you're
Ottawa
right.
Ottawa has to be able to figure out what they're going to do. So it has to come in at a certain date, and it's got to be, 7 days prior? Or it can't be 24 or 48 hours. It's not fair to Ottawa.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. I didn't give that a thought. I just went
so
by
I
the date.
I haven't seen any of these dates. I'm looking for them, and I can't find them. But if you've got 2 weeks prior, so you would have to put your protection list out if it came out on, like, December 2nd or December 3rd or whatever.
November 27th.
What's the
draft?
Hang on,
I just found the trade deadline. It says, I hate when it does that. You find something, then you click it, and then it disappears. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
I think there's a lot of back room talk going on right now with GMs to set themselves up. I mean, I know for a fact that Barker right now is not talking to anybody. All these things are you know, being negotiated as to what players are we leaving out there. Are you leaving that guy? Because if I leave that guy, I know Ottawa is going to take him. So if you want to work something out, you want to trade something now, let's do something. You know, all that kind of stuff has to be going on right now. No one's just going to say, okay, well, you know what, guys? We're going to sign these guys here, and we're going to leave these guys out in the open. You don't want to help your conference teams get better if you leave certain things out there and don't resign people. You know what I mean? So I just have a feeling there's a lot of backroom talk going on right now.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, there should be.
Frank, let me ask everybody a question. I mean, everybody's got their favorite teams. What is your most important signing for your each team, guys? Like, I mean, I got mine, okay? I mean, to me, the most important free agent out there is Swazi Waters, okay? He's the man with the boot. He puts points up there. Young kid. He is an import. They're going to have to throw some money at him out there. But to me, out of all the guys that the Argos have floating out there, that's my pick. What's your pick out in B.C., Chris? And then, Mike, what's yours in Hamilton?
Out of my free agents? Kieron Williams.
Yeah?
Kieron Williams is the only guy out there that I would be really concerned about keeping.
And why?
Because he's a kick-ass defensive end. You know, I've only got six guys out there. Josh Bell, who's a DB, and he's like on sixth on the depth chart, even though Dante Marsh and Corey Banks are getting old. Stu Ford is our fourth running back. Dan McLaughlin is a, I don't know. Nick Moore is a wide receiver, good wide receiver. He would be number two on my depth chart of need to get picked. And Steve Middleton, who the hell is Steve Middleton? He's our O-line. It's so porous. We need a whole new O-line. So you know what? Kieron Williams is my number one pick. Nick Moore's number two. Everybody else could walk away, and I wouldn't be hurt.
What about you, Mike?
I'm going with Smiling Hank, man. I'm going with Smiling Hank. Hamilton needs to re-sign Smiling Hank if they want to get back to the get back or have any chance of going back to the Grey Cup.
Is that the same answer for you, Robbie?
What are you eating, John?
I'm not sold on Lefevre, and I'm not quite sold on Mazzoli just yet. It's still gonna take some time for them guys, man. And if you want to have any chance of going to the Grey Cup, sign Hank for that 1 year deal so y'all can get back to the Grey Cup. Boost to that offensive line, boost to that defensive line, and also bring me in some six foot one corners. I want some 6 foot corners. I'm tired of all these little 5'8", 5'7" corners.
Yeah, don't we all?
That can't get the job done.
that can't
get the job done.
Yeah, we all want those corners, man.
Man, I'm telling you, we need some 6 foot corners that can go out there and deal with these big 6 foot two, 6 foot three guy receivers that some of these teams got. You know, that's mine right there.
That's a good explanation. I don't know if we got Robbie out there still, do we? No.
I heard
Frank,
him talking.
I heard him talking. Yeah, what's yours for the Argos, Frank?
For the Argos?
Yeah.
Let me look at what my options are. I was busy trying to get that answer.
Adrian Novelli is still on our free agent list. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Joke. I mean, come on.
Well, Patrick Watkins. I don't know what's up with him. You got Robert McCune.
Yeah, that was Jones's boy. I don't know if he's going to be back either.
Jeff Johnson's old, like you said. But JJ will still be around.
Bradwell's going to be coming back.
Yeah.
He's a Canadian. They need a Canadian signing. And he's a local boy.
I'm going to say Woodson.
Yeah?
Only reason I'm saying that is because you and I both know we've got major concerns with Kackert. Long-term concern.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's a non-import running back.
Yep.
That's why I'm saying
that. Glass.
By the way, I heard that Kackert's healing very nicely.
Good.
The surgery and everything else, well, I mean, what else are they going to say? But I guess they wouldn't say anything at all if it was going bad, right?
I don't know. I mean, put it this way. They could say it's bad, and it isn't, and they could say it isn't bad, and it is, because if they say it isn't bad, then somebody picks him up if he is bad, and then they get rid of a headache, a conscience.
Right. Well, I mean, he's smiling. I mean, he's posting pictures of his Thanksgiving Facebook page of his family and so forth, and he signed.
You know what? I'll say for Hamilton, I want to throw in for Hamilton more than anything else. They got a couple of guys that I'd want to sign, but they might, you know, the draft will go by and then they'll sign them. A guy like Luca Kanji, who impressed me with his kicking.
Uh-huh.
I was very impressed with his kicking. Very, very impressed. We talked about Henry Burris, and Simone Lawrence. Like, that's a guy that the Argos could do some payback if they could get him.
Yeah.
If they could sign him. I like Simone Lawrence. So to answer your question, if they could sign him.
Yeah, is that your Bruce John Inch answer right there?
Yeah, that's my Bruce John Inch answer.
Okay.
Well, I tell you what, speaking of kickers, Justin Matlock will be back in the CFL next year.
Who?
Justin Matlock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where is he now?
He'll be back in the CFL next year. He was in the, and Chris, you were right, he was in the NFL with the Panthers, and he's a free agent now.
Yes. Yeah, he's without a team right now, and he was with Calgary, wasn't he?
Hamilton,
that's right, I'm sorry. Yeah, he's going to come back to the CFL next year. That's pretty much a given. So,
yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams out there that need kickers.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me, guys,
I don't know this answer.
What's the date that Ottawa gets to make their picks?
The 16th.
December 16th.
December 16th?
What we don't know, John, and what we're looking for, because Christopher makes a valid point, they're not going to put the guys there on the 16th unless they put them on the 16th and then they get a week to pick the guys. You know, Christopher, that could be the other thing.
But that's not
what
happens.
I mean?
So the expansion draft is on December 16th.
Right. But are they going to have to make the picks that day, or do they get a week to make the picks? Because that's the...
I can't find anything online about this. Here's your answer, Frank.
Here's your answer, Frank. If it is done immediately, then there was a lot of backroom talk going on because they knew what was going to be available, and the GMs talked to each other and said, well, this is what we're going to leave out there, so this is who you're going to have to look at. And then because they have to have some time on it. I mean, if they do give out immediate answers right after the players are released, that means there was a lot of backroom talk. If they don't, then we know that stuff wasn't going on because these guys would make their choices right away if they know what the teams are giving up, I think, anyway.
Yeah. So if they're going to do the draft on the 16th, that it's going to be a draft, just like every other draft,
then
they have to have their little player pitcher cards out on the desk, and they're going to say, we want this guy. If this is available, then we want this guy, and we want this guy. But they don't – you have to know who's going to be available. They can't just be blindsided with a list 2 hours before the draft starts and these guys scramble around and pick out who they want out of it because it's just unprofessional.
Well, no, and not very helpful, I think, is what you're saying.
Well, we want Ottawa to be successful. Everybody does, right?
Yes,
Cohan wants it to be successful. So they're not going to blindside him with a list like this and saying, ha, 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 no, you can't get our players because, you know, whatever. So, you know, they have to have that list 7 days prior, minimum, okay? So if they're opening up the trading, because – once you go past the trading deadline, which was, what, October 9th or something this year, it's not opened up until free agency, which is in February. So there's no trading going on between October 9th and free agency, which is, I think, February 12th or something this year. But they're going to open it up for 2 weeks prior to that so that Toronto can move Kolaris, but Kolaris not being a free agent doesn't need it, but so that they can get some value for these players in which have excelled at the end of through the playoffs and that they kept for the playoffs just so that they're not losing them for nothing to Ottawa, which is good, bad, and I don't know why they're actually doing this, but I understand and see how it's going to happen and play out. So I think the protection list would have to come up when that trading deadline opens up. When the trading opens back up, they should have their protection list in and say, this is what's being protected, and then everybody can go, well, you don't have this guy protected. I'll trade you this guy for that guy, because I don't think Ottawa's going to pick this guy. But he's going to take your guy. So, you trade him for this guy, you might as well trade him for a pack of gum if Ottawa's going to take him anyhow. So if you get
another thing with Ottawa, two guys, and I'm not going to give up my source, but Ottawa looking down south in a lot of the arena leagues and indoor leagues for a lot of quarterbacks.
Well, the guy they picked up guys already playing, and they are looking already because they've already brought some guys in with that experience.
You like anybody down in the arena leagues, Mike, that could do something up here in the CFL? You hear
anything?
My number one guy, man, that I know that could probably come back to the CFL right now after gaining AFL experience in Arena League and being in the indoor league is DJ Hall last year was a sought-after quarterback by every team in the Arena League last year. And he ended up signing with the Orlando Predators, and then he ended up going back to the Lakeland Raiders after that.
Yeah.
And that guy, man, I didn't mean to cut you off, Chris. From the time that he was playing in Toronto in the CFL, from the time he went down to the Arena League, DJ Hall has picked up a lot of experience and learned how to play in that quarterback position. So that's why I stick to my guns and go and stick with DJ Hall. Now, other than DJ Hall, I'm going to go with Chris Dixon, and then I'm going to also go with Houston Lillard. But I got to see what them guys can do on the CFL field before I can even just 100% say these the guys I would bring in the camp. Assigned to a contract, and Frank, I don't know if you know anything about Chris Dixon, but if you look him up, Chris Dixon is arguably the best indoor quarterback to ever play in the indoor game.
Yes, agreed.
I think Christopher, you know what? I'm drawing a conclusion here. It could be wrong, but I believe I pretty faithfully can say this: they're not going to have any time. The teams are gonna protect who they're going to protect, and on December 16th, give it like an ordinary draft. They're going to have to decide. They're going to be given 15 minutes or a half hour to pick a player, and then pick another player, then pick another
draft.
Player. Huh?
That's not an ordinary draft.
No, I know it isn't. I know it isn't, but they're going to end up doing it like that because it really doesn't matter. Because it really doesn't matter. You know why, Chris? They're going to look at the guys that are available. It's up to them to research it before. So whoever comes up available, they're not competing with anybody. They're just going to pick two non-imports and one import. That's all they're going to do. It's not complicated, really, when you think about it. It's not complicated. They're not competing with anybody.
Right.
How
many of these guys we might, you know, when after they do their expansion draft, a lot of these guys that they pick and might not even be on the team when the season starts anyway.
They might trade them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was saying before. They become an asset, right? And you don't necessarily have to bring an asset to camp. Like you bring it, like the smart move, and it's been done before in expansions. I love the moves where they make expansion drafts, and somebody drafts a player that somebody else wants. I don't think there's just going to be backroom deals between the teams that are existing. I think there's going to be backroom deals with the teams existing between themselves and with the Red Blacks, where they're going to be told, "Hey, listen, if this guy comes loose, you pick him. We'll give you this guy."
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think the Red Blacks.
I'm not arguing with that. I cannot find any information to suggest anything other than what you've just said.
And that's why I'm drawing that conclusion. I don't agree with it,
but I can't find anything that says that the trading deadline is opened up either for 2 weeks. And I've heard that from two or three different people that if that's happening. So I don't know.
There's no window. There's no window. It's just a drop dead date. No window, just a drop dead date.
Because I believe that the Red Blacks are trying to put their team together to go in and compete now. They're not waiting for all that two-year, three-year window crap. When they pick, I believe they're going to pick and trade wisely whoever they sign and deal with. I believe they're trying to compete. I believe they're trying to go at least 10-8. You know what I'm saying? I give them
10-8. They're going to the playoffs in the first year. Okay.
Yes, they are.
One other thing
yes,
I want to touch it. Mike touched on some quarterbacks down south that are in the Arena League that are very good. CD2 is one of them. Chris Dixon, the second. BJ Hall. The one that we're completely forgetting about is Adrian McPherson.
Man, I was going to bring him up too, Chris, because I think if I'm going to check it out. I'm going to go online and look. But if Adrian McPherson did not sign that second-year deal for the Tampa Bay Storm, you best believe he's going to be in the mix in that Ottawa Redblacks expansion draft. You best believe it.
Well, he's not in the expansion draft. This would just be a free agent signing.
A free agent signing, rather.
That's a great quarterback for Winnipeg.
Yes, it is. For any team, to be honest, any team. Can you just imagine
Ken Austin
signing Adrian McPherson to be the starting quarterback for the Ticats in the new stadium?
I could see that happening. And the other thing, has nothing to do with Hamilton, but I can also see Casey Printers coming back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And why not? Hey, guys, can I can I take a moment here to say hello? Steve Myers wants me to say hello to you guys.
Hey, Stevie.
Hey, Stevie.
Hey, Stevie.
Belton Johnson, he's a former player with Saskatchewan and Hamilton. He wanted to say hello. He's real busy making dinner. Steve Richardson. I should also say Aaron William Freeland, but he's sitting here in the room waiting for me to do the college thing. He came back a little bit late. We started this, and then I said, you asked that stupid question. I've been researching it. And, Aaron, you didn't find the answer to that question, being the genius that you are?
I couldn't. I was looking everywhere. I couldn't track it down at all.
That's what I've been trying to do, and I forgot all about you because we're college. We're going to do the CIS. I want to say hi to John Avery, who's out there. Yeah, he dropped a hello. A new guy, Kelly Bale, who wanted to – he's a Saskatchewan fan. He wants to be on the show. He's more than welcome to be on the show. He hasn't texted me that his number or whatever, but we'll look in the future. And I'm looking forward to – I'm hoping we can get Ryan Hines in here. He's a great Canadian kid who played for Hamilton, was traded to Edmonton last year. And Bruce, of course, Bruce John Inch. We'll say hello to him. He's busy probably. It's a Friday night, so he's having a real good time, I would bet.
Where's Kim Weaver?
And then Kim Weaver, thank you very much. She was next on my list. And then Debbie Ajoa Wormsbecker. I want to thank Jams Sharp, Frank Kirby, Phyllis Babin. These are all people that really do back up the show. Vito Anthony D'Alessandro. Scott Nichols, who's a part owner of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, he's been real busy. We're trying to get him to come in.
Randy Christinger.
Yep, Randy Christinger. Patty Flanagan. Aaron
Allison
Russell
Morrison.
McKenzie. Exactly. Cheryl Kingsley. Rick Thorpe. Andrew Yule.
Aaron McIntosh. Amy Grube.
There you go.
Let's go throw them all out there. Argo
Lifers. Woo! Keep doing it. Give your shout-out. Do you guys want to do a shout-out? Go ahead.
Go ahead, Chris.
I got a shout-out to a little kid, a friend of mine. His name is Tim. He's in here from Germany on a one-year work visa. He's working his butt around Vancouver. He was out on my farm. Turned him into a big CFL fan, and he's hanging out and watching all the games, or was anyhow. And so... Tim, just in case you're online, we're saying hi.
Jared Harris, Annette Pottinger.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where Randy Christinger was on my list at this point. Adam Big Hill, I don't know, he's some guy that plays football or something.
Hey.
Biggie the bomb.
And if I forget Phyllis Jessica.
Christian Kennedy.
There you go, Christian Kennedy.
Oh, can't forget. Kevin and Cheryl Kingsley out there. Come on.
Yeah, I already did Cheryl. I didn't do Kevin. Kevin doesn't
there
have a computer. There's no point.
Hey, Frank, can I give a shout-out real quick?
Please
do.
Take your time.
Hey, I want to give a shout-out to and a congratulations to Jacquel Pitts, who just signed with the New York Wolves of the American Indoor Football League the other day. Congratulations, bro. Make him proud.
All right. Right on.
Good oh yeah, stuff, and Tom Halleck with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers was kind enough to include me in a Winnipeg Blue Bombers page, and Laura Kogan Shea, big Hamilton fan. So yeah, I'm really appreciate all these messages that people send to say that they like listening to the show, and I just wanted to acknowledge their messages. It's appreciated. Now, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
We got time. I apologize. I know you had to walk your dog, and then we started the show, you know, the CFL part, and then I got asked a question about the draft. You didn't get the answer. I didn't get the answer. Christopher
sure.
didn't get the
on
answer.
Me. How's Thora doing, Aaron? How's Thora?
She's doing really well. She's actually sitting right next to me, and she's looking at my elbow like, I really want to lick that.
Did she have a good walk?
She did, actually.
Is this your wife?
No, this is my Siberian husky.
This is Siberian husky.
Chris,
yeah.
You're a bad boy, Chris.
That's okay.
I am, but you know what? There was absolutely no confrontation in the show so far, so I had to throw something out there.
There you go. Bad boy. Okay.
We love that stuff. Come
on.
Oh,
yeah. You guys missed it because you're both too far away. We had an Argo Lifers little barbecue in my back deck, and he brought his dogs, and they were – Aaron has contrasting dogs. One's a 4-inch dog and the other one's a 4-foot dog.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
we have my girlfriend has a long haired dachshund and I've got a white Siberian husky. She's got a little black and tan. So it's like Mutt and Jeff.
It sure is.
Wow.
They're both very nice dogs. All right, listen, we got to get this in. It's Friday. Monday we get back again. Friday we usually do other stuff on Fridays, but the CFL is such a hot topic right now. We've been doing that. What ends up happening for the people who are listening, we on Fridays we'll be doing the National Lacrosse League and also indoor football, arena football. We'll do that too on Fridays, okay, guys? So
okay.
we have Friday free for all. So you know we can do. You guys want to do arena football? We can do arena football, but let's do it by itself, so that the people who like arena football will, you know, will hang out here and we'll talk about arena football. I got to learn about it. Aaron checked out the CIS, which is our university football, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. You guys are more than welcome to hang in there. We've only got a few minutes, Aaron, and I apologize for that. I truly do.
No worries.
Okay, good. So it's been an interesting year. It's getting to the point where it doesn't matter. I think it's the eighth year in a row, I guess, if you did your research, Aaron, that Laval made it to the final.
Yep, that's correct.
And they won it this year. So tell us what's been going on in the CIS, the championship game. Define it for us. Tell us what the game was like. And you guys can chirp in if you watched any of it.
I actually, unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to actually watch that. I was actually a little bit tied up that weekend. But I do know that we did have Calgary at 11-0 facing off against Laval Rougeau at 11-0, and the final was 25-14. What I found most interesting was a couple days after that, there were three Quebec City varsity football players who were in charge in relation to a bar brawl that happened 5 months ago.
So then we've got draft prospects for Saskatchewan.
Yep.
Yes.
But the three members of Laval's red and gold team, including the starting quarterback, were charged with a June brawl at a nightclub in St. Foy. So I'm not sure why the charges were delayed as far as they were, but it only came out afterwards. The game itself, I mean...
Aaron, Calgary might have a complaint like Christopher has that those guys should have been suspended and not played in the championship game.
Hey, that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering how much collusion there is or how much of a desire there is to see a quote-unquote East Coast team versus a West Coast team. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
Laval had a great record during the season. Don't get me wrong. 11-0 is nothing to sneeze at. Same goes for the Calgary Dinos. As far as I'm concerned, they both deserve to be there. But had these charges actually come to light and been pressed back in June or early July, Laval might not have made it.
Well, when you look at the final rankings for 2013, you had Western, Laval, and Calgary, Queens, and Guelph all were top five the last 2 weeks. So
yep.
They were all those teams were playing at the level or at least the reporters or whoever makes these decisions, they were playing at a level way. Western, to me, I couldn't believe that they actually lost, and they did. The game in Calgary they lost was a ridiculous game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Do you know? I don't know why they played in Calgary when Western was ranked higher. Does anybody know that answer? Is it a predetermined, like each division gets their year where they're the home team in that game? Is that how it works? It must be.
That's the way it seems to work out. But I mean, if you look at the way that everything was set up, I think No, you know what? I was going to say it's because Calgary was ahead of them in the rankings for more weeks, but that doesn't seem to be the case. I mean, the rankings, quite frankly, didn't change all that much from the beginning of October all the way through until the end. But, I mean, exactly. Starting October 1st, the rankings were Weston, Laval, Calgary, Guelph. And it was Weston, Laval, Calgary, Guelph all the way through until
Queens
week
passed.
9, where Guelph and Queens swapped.
Exactly. But still generally in the same position. And Western was the favorite team, and they really did lose. Literally, they lost in the snow and ice. The kind of game that we were suspecting that was possible in Saskatchewan, they got it in the semifinal. They got that horrible weather. I don't know if anybody else saw part of it. I saw most of the game, but I wasn't impressed with the weather, and I've never been impressed with that kind of weather. I don't think that's the way to end the year, you know, slipping and sliding all over the field. I just don't think that's the way you end the year. But, you know, there are people who believe that, you know, football's a game that must be played within the elements, and whatever elements present themselves, you have to overcome them. I get it. But, you know, I just don't like it. So those were the rankings, and Laval won. And now, what else can you tell us about the CIS?
I mean, I'll be honest with you, looking at the rankings from year to year to year, it just seems to be the same power centers that seem to be coming through every year. Laval's remarkably consistent. Western's remarkably consistent. Calgary's remarkably consistent. The only real shuffling I seem to see is out on the East Coast between St. Mary's, Mount A, and Acadia. That seems to shuffle around a bit. But for the most part, you're looking at very well-established power centers when it comes to Canadian inter-university football.
Starting with Laval.
Exactly. Starting with Laval, Western, and Calgary. Those three seem to dominate every single year. It almost seems like the Vanier Cup is sort of a foregone conclusion. You can just sort of, you know. I mean, the last time around, it was a business of a surprise with the McMaster Marauders playing Laval and winning in 2011. That was actually a nice little bit of a change. It was nice to see McMaster come out on top. But I mean, for the most part, those three teams seem to be the most consistent when it comes to Canadian inter-university sports.
I don't understand how, you know, McMaster was 8-0, and there were problems with games again this year where I don't know how they allow that to happen, but they use players that are ineligible. They get caught, and then they lose the game, and in this case this year there were even double game losses for basically, using illegal players.
I never understand. It's not that hard to use legal players. You know what I mean?
You wouldn't think. But no. I'm looking here at the standings. And did you look at the standings? And they don't make sense for me. But you know, you got McMaster 8-0, right? And Western's 5-3, and Western ends up with the top ranking. How does that work?
See, that I've never understood this. Is this,
and I don't,
the way that they work out the rankings and everything like that is kind of like how numbers behave on a waiter's pad. It's never
Frank,
made any sense.
Say, Western was 5-3 and McMaster's was 8-0.
Yep.
And Western had the top ranking.
Yep.
Western ended up 8-0 and McMaster ended up 5-3 because of illegal players.
Oh, okay.
Right, so
I got a question
ends up
for you.
Losing those games, Western ends up winning those games.
Okay, who is the top quarterback in the CIS right now? Because I want to look him up, see what he's about.
Finch.
YouTube him.
Check Finch out. Finch out. He's a teenager, and he's at Western, and he's incredible. He's our future gold star at quarterback.
I would think that anybody in Laval.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, John, I happen to think that Laval has a better organization, not better players. And sometimes organization trumps players. And I think we saw that this year. I know that, you look at Saskatchewan, all the great players they had. But Calgary had guys that were supposedly even better, and they couldn't make it past the semifinal.
True.
I'll be honest with you. Guys, I've always been more comfortable with professional sports than I have with university because there just seems to be so many more variables
there
with inter-university sport.
Okay, we're down to like 15 seconds. Aaron, thanks a lot. And look forward in the future. We'll be doing The Rock, and we'll be doing arena football. Mike, I know how much you love that. And John Granger, thank you as usual. And for those of you that follow the show, thank you so much. And all these wonderful people that like the page, I appreciate that as well. For John Granger, Mike Townsend, Aaron William Freeland, and Christopher Jones, Rob Emery, I say thank you to everyone for listening to the program. We'll catch you again on Monday at 10 p.m.
Cool. See y'all later. Good show.
Have a good night, gentlemen. People.